You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 174 of Retired Racehorse Radio on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products and Ride TV. Retired Racehorse Radio is your guide to the adoption, care, and training of the retired racehorse, brought to you in cooperation with the Retired Racehorse Project and New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program.
On today's show, we're back with our Making the Makeover Spotlight trainer and longtime listener, Shannon Quashy. Then we meet an adoptable horse of the week and new training tip with New Vocations' Amanda Grace. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Retired Racehorse Radio.
This is Joy Orr in Detroit, Michigan.
And this is Kristen Kovach-Bentley in Jamestown, New York, and you are listening to Retired Racehorse Radio.
Well, Kristen, I think I need to start with an apology to our listeners for my sound quality this episode. My children are wiling out, and I'm not on my normal mic, so just going to address the elephant in the room. I'm sorry, everybody. I did not forget how to podcast. I'm surviving motherhood, but I hope you still like the episode.
I'm going to just throw out there, in case anyone, this is their first episode, two that are what, 6 months old?
They're 6 months old now, which is right. Bananas. Someone's left me alone with
also
two infants and a puppy, so I really have triplets.
And you're on a hands-free device so that you can round up all three of them. So I think that's actually pretty smart.
I'm doing my best. It will not be the norm, but I'm doing my best.
Doing your best. You are. Yeah. You're doing a great job.
House on fire. Yeah. But
no, you're doing a great job.
Thanks. But I feel like it's going to be a fun episode. I feel like we both have lots of things going for you, especially Miss Media Extraordinaire. You had a viral article go out.
Yeah, that story landed a lot better. It landed as well as I had hoped it would.
I feel like it's what everyone was thinking and no one was saying.
Well, and you know what? When it's your literal last day of work, you can kind of say anything and not be too afraid about personal repercussions. And I think I did a good job, if I can say that myself, of, towing the line where hopefully it's not going to be burning bridges for the Retired Racehorse Project,
Yes. Yes. And for listeners who haven't read it, you wrote a send-off article of why you chose to leave your dream job in aftercare. There's nothing poorly about the RRP in there at all, or your employer, but there's some really important points that I think anyone who's been a part of the aftercare side of the industry can resonate with.
Yeah, my hope in writing it, it's called Why I Left My Dream Job in Thoroughbred Aftercare. It was published by Thoroughbred Daily News on Friday, April 3rd. So if you're going back to find it, first of all, I did share it on our Retired Racehorse Radio Facebook page, but you can also go back and TDN and find it there. And my hope in sharing it was if nothing else, maybe it will make some people in the industry realize that you're going to lose really good people that at their core really cared about the industry and doing well for the horses and doing well for the racing industry, because that's really one of the industries that we were serving. And it just got to the point where I just didn't feel like anything I was doing was going to make much of a difference. And that's a little bit of oversimplification, right? Because I think I can look back on all the time at RRP and know that we did a lot of really good things. And I was personally responsible for a lot of really good things. But, you can only kind of feel like you're being ignored for so long, I did get an interesting, very long DM from someone who was like, I'd really like to tell you to snap out of it. And I was like, all right, that's fine. You're entitled to that opinion. That's okay. I didn't respond to it.
Yeah.
It's that's
everyone's
fine.
Entitled to their opinion. That's okay.
Yeah, and for a long time, that's what I did. I told myself to get over it and just keep your head down and keep working. But, life's too short to do that forever. So you know, I decided like, hey, I found a cool opportunity to sort of pivot and get out of the horse industry for a little while. And I took that. So here we are.
Sometimes they really need that just to reignite the spark. I mean, I know both of us even talked about last year, we both kind of had non-super horsey years.
Yeah,
and we were pretty quiet. It was good for us, I think, to have that break of training and show goals and like, how do you push your horse to the next level without breaking it?
Right.
And kind of got to go back to things we loved outside of horses. And it does give you that opportunity to reignite a spark.
Right. And also, I think like, and this is not to point fingers at anyone, you know, who like do this full time professionally, but like, that's not for me. You know, I found that out when I was trying to teach and train full time. I was like, that's not for me at all. I gave that a solid 4 years, I thought was pretty respectable. And then was like, yeah, I'm going to bow out and do something else. You know, and I've been in like basically equine communications ever since then. So that was in 2014. I've been working in equine communications. So, but I have other interests and like other stuff that kind of lights a fire. And, you know, I'm getting to use skills that I've honed that transfer really well to addressing other areas of need. So, you know, right now I'm addressing food insecurity and, you know, food deserts and creating a stronger ag network locally, which I think is very cool. So,
yeah, you know. I mean, fun fact, despite every show that makes fun of the quote unquote horse girl, we are horse girl in the high school setting, we do have other interests that are not horses.
Right. And I think that's okay to admit too, right? Like sometimes it feels like a failing, right? If it's like, you're not in it 100% of the time, it's like, oh, you don't count, you know, you're going to lose your horse girl card. But I still have three of them. They're all lame right now, which kind of stinks. You know, I've got like some sort of weird abscess thing moving through. I don't know. Nobody's actually blown an abscess, but two of them are wearing hoof packs. I'm like, well, I don't know what's going on here. So we'll see.
Yeah.
They got sounder again, but yeah.
Versus the horse, that's for sure.
Right. So I'm like, listen, if anybody wants to complain, they can come and they can soak and wrap feet as often as I am.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And, you know, like, I think that's good for people, though, too, is be multidimensional, go do other things. You know, you've done that. Yeah. I've done that. And we're maybe going to come back to it better this year. So
I know. I'm excited. I'm very excited for you, but I thought it was a very tasteful send off. I had my own thoughts to add into it on my side, where keyboard warriors want to tell everyone in aftercare what they can and can't do. And I just want you to please go volunteer for one day and then come back and say those things.
Right.
Because like as a board member of an aftercare group, we see a lot of people telling us what we should and shouldn't do. And that also gets really grinding to get it from both fronts.
Yeah. Yeah. You're trying to help, you know, basically an area, address an area of need while a bunch of people who really don't know the ins and outs tell you how to do it better. And that, that does get old after a while.
Yeah. So once you've done the thing, you've joined the boards, you volunteer regularly, you've adopted a horse, you've see that all the financials to make those things run and that most of the people who are running them don't actually take home a salary. They're doing this out of the kindness of the heart. Then I'll listen to you. But until then, no.
Right.
No. Respectfully.
Right. But yeah, I'm glad that you know, it resonated with you too, and your aftercare experience and your, you know, experience in leadership and aftercare too. Because, you know, I think, and it seemed to resonate with a lot of people in the comments, you know, that were like,
like,
rock on, like, good for you.
Exactly. So. Exactly. No, it is a very important message. And I do hope it impacts a couple. I'm not even going to say one person. That's always like, if it resonates with one person. No, I think it was big enough that clearly it shared very quickly. You had a lot of good feedback from it. I think you had addressed a very large elephant in the room that needed to be said.
Yeah. Well, thanks.
Of course.
On a more exciting note, you're starting riding lessons soon.
I am. We're recording this ahead of time, so I would have already had my first lesson, and I am promising myself I will put the footage up, because we all have to start something. So whether you're a first time rider or you're getting back to the swing of things after a hiatus like me, or just coming out of winter hibernation, I am embracing where I'm starting. I'll never get a chance to see that again. And
that's a good point.
I need to get out of my head of trying to be like polished and perfect. So I'm allowing myself to be messy, which is basically the best way I can describe the season of motherhood that I'm in. But yeah, very excited. I've been talking with my instructor. I've scribed for her for the last few years now. She is a well-known judge in my area for dressage, and she's just lovely, very frank, but also kind in how she delivers things. So my biggest fear was if my riding boots were going to fit, and I am happy to say they do, because your feet do change shape and size during pregnancy.
Oh, heck yeah. Good for you.
Yeah, that was my biggest fear, because one foot is not the same as it was before. It's like, well, we shall see.
Get a shoehorn and a plastic bag and some butter, and I bet you can get it in there. But yeah,
yeah,
like, you don't need to do that.
Confirm most of my breeches still fit. Some might be a sold thing. Check out, we do have an HRN like buy and sell group. If you are looking to purchase stuff, I might have them for sale. But most of my breeches still fit, which is great. It's still cold, so as long as I have a sweatshirt that fits over, I'm good. My helmet fits, still up to code. So I'm ready. I'm excited for it. Oh, yes. Yeah, especially as, I don't know, I'm debating if I'm going to try to do at least one show this year just for fun, a little fun show somewhere. But I'm keeping everything really open right now. Just,
yeah.
One ride at a time.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love that. Cool. Well, I can't wait to see the footage and cheer for you. I will have already cheered for you. Since
I did commit to just do a 30-minute one for this first ride, so I'm sure I'm going to struggle, considering sometimes even just taking the twins for a walk, I'm out of breath. So, and I'm curious what this my new body is going to feel like as well. Like, I'm very much trying to stay humble and not allow myself to be like, well, this is how I used to ride. Like, I get to rebuild, and that's a really cool place to be.
I love that.
Yeah.
Good for you. So positive.
More to come in that space. Excited. I'm sure I'll be sore for the next few weeks, but that's okay. I'm staying optimistic. That's what Epsom salt baths are for. If anyone would like to follow the journey, make sure to follow my Instagram. That's where I'll post it, but I'll put it on Retired Race Horse Radio social as well. But enough about me. We're going to hear from our makeover writer and where she's kind of at. And I think we're talking more on the foundational side still, since we're early on. Be seeing how she sets her horse up for success. We all know it's in the hoof. That'll be good. Before we get into that, we're going to hear from our premier sponsor, Kentucky Performance Products.
Are runny poop and a dirty butt challenges for your horse? Does his diarrhea have you both down? Does he struggle with bouts of colic or other digestive tract issues? Or is his digestive distress due to lifestyle changes or travel or illness, injury, or antibiotic use? Probiotic-Wise is your supplement of choice when a balanced hindgut is your goal. Available in powder or paste, Probiotic-Wise is a concentrated source of both prebiotics and probiotics that capture and sweep out pathogenic bacteria, support healing, and maintain healthy gut tissue, and sustain a robust microbiome. To see if Probiotic-Wise, available through veterinarians, is right for your horse, speak with your vet, visit kppusa.com, or call 859-873-2974. Well, we are back with Making the Makeover trainer and longtime HRN listener. Thanks for coming back to the family with Shannon Quashie. Welcome back to Retired Race Horse Radio.
Absolutely. Again, so glad to be here.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's always fun to chat with somebody that we like, you know, Facebook know, you know, like.
Right. Like we've been Facebook friends for so years. Long. But yeah, exactly.
Just creeping on each other's stuff. So
it's funny because I talk to friends or whatever. And I'm like, oh, I have a friend. And I'm like, well, I've never met them, you know, but they're a friend, you know, and yeah, the Facebook friends, I totally. Yeah.
I think that's much more appropriate now than it used to be, right? Like, it used to be like, oh, yeah, cool, Shannon, your imaginary friend in New York. Yes, like, no, I'm real now, right? Like,
yeah. My imaginary friend. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All right. Well, we all know that makeover journey has some ups and downs, you know, and we were chatting a little bit off air. How's that makeover journey treating you these days?
Well, it's the journey. It is the journey that we all undertake, right? So we have had a little bit of some downs the past month. We've been fighting an abscess for we're probably going on six to seven weeks now.
Seven weeks?
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I've had the vet out. I've had the vet out twice. I tend to be a little, well, and yeah, we can, you know, if we kind of want to go back to the beginning. So this horse has no shoes on. He, I did pull his shoes as soon as he came home. Wasn't necessarily my intention. My horses are all barefoot. I have, you know, three other, as we talked about last time, three other thoroughbreds, right. And they are all barefoot. And I do, you know, that's my jam. I tend to be more of a natural, I don't know what you want to call it, what the term you want to call it, you know, natural, holistic, whatever the term is, but all my horses are barefoot. And it wasn't necessarily my intention with him. I didn't want to just, you know, yank his shoes and throw them out. That was not necessarily right. My plan, but, about a week before I picked him up. So again, just to kind of remind everyone, I picked him up October 17th, which was a month after his last race. About a week before I picked him up, his connections called me and, or whatever, we talked and she was like, hey, you know, he lost a shoe, his right front, he lost a shoe, but I figured you would want to have your own farrier work on him. So I've just left it. He's a little foot sore because he hasn't had a shoe on for a week. And I was like, okay, yeah, no problem. So when I picked him up, he was missing his right front. And then, and then she also said, and he's a little overdue. He was, again, love them. They're great people, but he was definitely very overdue. And I know he had not been done since, I don't know the exact date, but it was at least a couple of weeks before his last race. So it had probably been it had been close to 6, 7, 8 weeks yeah. since he had been done. And mine are on a very tight 3 to 4 week schedule. So he was very overdue. So then by the time I got him home, not only was he missing the right front, but one of his hinds, I don't remember, but one of his hinds was like barely hanging on. The other two were like super loose.
All right. Yeah. So at that point, you just take them all off, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I brought him home on a Friday and I already had set up that my trimmer was scheduled to come on Monday. My dentist, I have an equine dentist. He was also scheduled to come on Monday. Not that that has anything. Well, it does kind of have stuff to do with it. But the trimmer was already set up. So I'm like, okay, let me just yank these puppies. And so so I pulled them off. And at that point, my equine dentist, who is absolutely amazing, he's a British guy. He used to be, no, I lied. He's not a British guy. He is from here. I don't know where that came from. He used to be a jockey though. He used to be a jockey and he's very well known around this area. And he was also on the Monday. He's like, no, you pull the things off and let him go. So that's what I did. I pulled him, but and then the trimmer was here on the Monday and she cleaned him up a bit. She, you know, definitely we take things very slowly. So it's not like she caught his feet were very wonky. His left front was way bigger than his right front. He was very high, low, he's very high, low. He still is, but his two front feet were completely different sizes. And, I do have boots that I use. I don't just throw them out and let them suck it up. I do have boots, but the boots that I usually use, which are, they're called flex boots, which I just, not a commercial, obviously, but I just really like the flex boots. And, but I couldn't even get him on his foot because his toes were so long. And again, because my trimmer, we're not just like whacking off toes. We're doing it slowly. Right. I had none of my boots were going to work on him. Thank goodness she had a pair of good old Cavallos that fit him. So pulled off his shoes. She did a little bit of trimming. I put him in some Cavallos, and he transitioned really, 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 really well. She was shocked at how well he transitioned. And I think that's, first of all, I have, you know, I don't, he doesn't have to walk over rocks anywhere. That's another reason why I was willing to do it. He doesn't, my footing is, you know, pretty good. They're in the pasture. They've got a little bit of bluestone to walk from the pasture to the barn when I bring him in, but he's not having to walk over rocks or concrete or, you know, nothing really bad that he has to walk over. And then my feeding program, which I'm also happy to talk about, but he transitioned really, really well in those first, he only was in boots for like, maybe 2 weeks. And then he was like, woohoo, I can do this without, he was super, super comfortable.
Oh, yeah, good boy. We are going to talk about nutrition in an upcoming episode. So hold that thought.
Okay. Yeah. And I feel like there's so many good nuggets and all of that. Like, the one that comes to mind is you mentioned that you keep your horses on a 3 to 4 week schedule. I think a lot of people typically hear like 6 weeks is the norm. Why do you do 3 to 4? I think that's great. And I also want to touch on how you do like a slow transition with your trimming, but let's start with the 3 to 4 weeks.
Well, actually, to be honest, so for him, he was actually getting done every 2 weeks. So I've got a total of 5 horses. So my other 4 before he came, yeah, they're on a usually a 4 week schedule, but actually in the fall, depending on the season, we'll go 3 weeks. And my trimmer, I love her. She takes a lot of time. So when she's here, I know sometimes they're like, oh, we, you know, file them off and we're in and out in like 15 minutes. Well, no, she takes like a good 30, 45 minutes, even just doing a barefoot trim, because she's making sure she's getting everything all, you know, balanced and blah, blah, blah. So when you've got 4 horses all being done at the same time, it was a bit of a, it was a lengthy appointment. So we decided to split them up, and I was doing 2 and 2, like every 2 weeks. So what that meant is every 2 weeks when she comes, she was working on Charlie. So yeah, for those first, at least the first 4 months, he was actually getting done every 2 weeks, which was tremendously helped his transition, because she could make those little tiny adjustments every couple of weeks to make sure he was comfortable, making sure he was growing out very balanced, you know, correct any issues that were going on. So yeah, he was actually being done every 2 weeks, and then all the rest of them are 4 weeks, although in certain seasons, like in the fall, they were actually being done every 3 weeks, because the ground was really hard. We were chipping, we were doing, you know, just because the ground's so hard, flies stomping, all that kind of thing. So did I answer your question, Joy? I'm so sorry, because I'm rambling, which is what I tend to do.
No, I think you answered it really well.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So yeah, he was on a 2 week schedule for those first couple of months, and then it's literally only been we're in the midst of our second 4 week cycle right now. So we literally just transitioned to 4 weeks last month, and he was on every 2 weeks before that.
So okay, I want to ask one more question before we get back to the 7 week abses.
Okay.
because you mentioned high low and like mismatching front feet, and Jobber has high low. Like, people see pictures of like his one foot all the time. They're like, that's a beautiful foot. And I'm like, yeah, it looks beautiful from that angle. Like, see it from the side. And they're like, oh, okay. You know, and the other foot has a much better heel, but the whole foot looks too small compared to the other one. And I have always wondered how horses get like that. And I don't know, like, you know, like humans aren't symmetrical either. Like animals aren't symmetrical, but when you watch horses like that graze, they tend to put the low heel out in front and the high heel goes under or behind a little bit. And I always wonder if it's horses who their legs grew too fast and they couldn't reach the grass. like their necks didn't keep up with their leg length, you know, and so they just, so I don't know if they're born that way and they find a stance that's comfortable and then that makes it worse, or the stance itself is what makes a horse high low. But it is really interesting to try to figure out like what came first, and I don't know.
What came first? But that's like, a fantastic question. Yeah. Because I have no idea. Like,
right. Yeah. Like no one knows. I ask my farrier all the time and she's like, that's a good question. I don't know. You know, and we're doing the same thing, keeping them barefoot. But I know with my farrier, with the high low, you know, she's of the mindset of like, I could try to make these hooves visually match, but that's not the interior shape of this horse.
Correct. Exactly. So. Exactly. And that's so hard. Yeah. Because you want them to look pretty from the outside.
Right.
But that's not necessarily the best thing for them on the inside. And yeah, I don't know either. So his left foot, which was the much bigger foot and the much more ugly, I'm not sure the proper much uglier, the much more, the much uglier foot. It looked like a duck bill. It almost looked like he was laminetic because just the way it had grown. He wasn't, but it was just, the much uglier foot, much longer toe. But it's the low foot, and that foot is always forward when he is standing, when he is grazing, that foot's always forward when he's standing in the stall. So again, my horses only come in, you know, like an hour in the morning, an hour and a half at night, and they're turned out all the rest of the time. But when he's in his stall and he's eating at the hay net, the left foot is forward. It's like he's doing the split. It's not just forward. It is way forward. And the other one is way back all the time. I mean, all the time. And when he grazes, he like shuffles. He'll kind of bring the right one forward a little bit and then step the left one way out in front of him again.
Yeah, so then I'm very familiar with this.
Yeah, okay. So you
and that messes them up everywhere else too, right? Yeah, like, because then you're like, now you're all lopsided, like you're perpetually, all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what I did just to help, I'm not sure if it helped, but I'm like, I have to give this horse at least a few minutes of standing square. And so what I did, because I usually, when they do eat their feed, I guess I'm not going to call it grain, but when they eat their feed, they're whatever you want to call it. I usually feed them in bowls on the ground. But for him, again, eating in the bowl on the ground, he's doing the split.
Oh yeah.
So I ended up putting a feeder in the corner and putting it chest high, so that way for at least 15 minutes every morning and night he stood square. Hmm. And so that's what I did. I put the feeder in the corner. He actually stands square when he's eating his breakfast and dinner. Whether it's doing any good or not, I have no idea. I'm like, you have to at least stand square. Yeah, you have to stand square for at least a few minutes every day. And so we do that. But no, other than that. And I don't know. I don't know because my...
I don't know if anybody knows.
The other two, so his dam, she's not high-low. She looks great. My original thoroughbred, Woody, he's fine. He's got other issues, but he's not high low. But the 21 makeover mare, his aunt / sister, she's high low. And then he is. And yeah, so there are different schools of thought, right? Whether it's they're grazing and they always put that foot forward, or, you know, does it have anything to do with the track? I have no idea. I don't. Yeah. Right. Don't know. I wish I knew the answer.
But, so which foot has the abscess in it?
Oh, that foot. The left foot.
See, it's because you made him stand square. That's why.
Because I made him stand square.
Oh, you broke him. No, I'm just kidding.
I did. You know, I wish I knew. Well, don't we all wish I knew? So it started. Yeah, it's going on. I first noticed it around February 21st, 22nd-ish, something like that. And at that time, we still had that ice and snow. And he had done really, because I kept a close eye on him. I was like, okay, I can throw boots on him if I need to during all that snow. But they had made their little path, you know, and it didn't. I was actually really proud of how well he was doing. He handled ice. He handled the snow really well. And it was kind of right as it was melting, I noticed, is he a little off in that foot? You know, you kind of, you take that double take and did he take a bad step on the snow or is he off? And so a couple days later, yeah, he was definitely still off. But then it was kind of coming and going as abscesses kind of tend to do. And so, yeah, it was the end of February when I first noticed it. And then finally, after a couple, 2-3 weeks, and nothing was changing. Like, he wasn't getting, and he wasn't like the obvious three-legged lame thing. He was.
This
he
is
was,
my least favorite kind of abscess. Yeah,
thank you. Exactly. Because yeah. When they've got that obvious thing, you're like, okay, it's going to blow. We'll be good. And I'm, again, just my philosophy. I don't soak them. I just kind of let them walk it out. I let them work it out. I don't soak. I don't, as a rule, I don't soak. I don't. Now, to be fair, I don't really, none of my horses ever have abscesses, knock on wood, but I used to have my old quarter horse used to get them in his hind feet every now and then. And you know, a few days he would work it out. It would blow. It would be no big deal. But yeah, as 2-3 weeks were going by, there was no change. It wasn't getting worse. It wasn't getting better. So I'm like, well, you know, I should probably have the vet out. So she came out, and I use a practice that there are several vets that might come. So you never really know who's going to come, which I kind of like because you get different opinions on things and so forth. So the one came out and hoof tested him, and he was a little sensitive around his heel area. And so, you know, all indication was he was bone and abscess. So she went ahead and put on the wrap and, you know, give him bute for a couple of days and we'll see what happens. And so we did that. And of course, he felt better with the wrap and the bute. But then as soon as a few days went by and we stopped the bute and we stopped the wrap, took the wrap off, well, then he was sore again, or then he was limping again. So then I gave him another week or so, and then I'm like, again, nothing's changing. We're not getting worse. We're not getting better. We're just, and it's not, again, it's not like the obvious three-legged abscess lame. It's just like, oh, he's a little off. Oh, he looks okay. Oh, he looks worse. It's just kind of changing all the time. So when was it? I actually have my calendar of March 26th, the vet came out again. I'm like, okay, we need to do something more. Let's do some x-rays. Let's do some blocking. Because obviously I don't want to make this horse hobble around if there's something more.
Yeah. Well, and like at that point, right? Like you've given it time,
it's now been
right?
Like a month. So it's
yeah,
been a
that's
month.
The logical right. next step. Right, yeah. Right. Yeah.
So we did the x-rays. And, oh, well, that was fun because, you know, she said she's taking this one angle and she's kind of looking and she's looking and she's like, and I'm like, okay.
Those are not good sounds.
What does that mean? She's like, well, I don't know until I get back to my office and look at it more closely, but I see something funky. And, you know, I'm looking at the x-rays. I'm like, ooh, something doesn't look good. And it was his, his medial, right? Or maybe, I can't remember whether it was.
I remember them when I'm in the context of the vet, but I can't remember on my own. Yeah.
Medial is inside and lateral is outside. And I don't remember which side it was, but she's like, it could potentially be a coffin fracture.
Whoa.
Well, thank you. That was my reaction. And I was like, what?
This is certainly escalated. Like, as the story has grown, I am becoming more and more invested into what is happening.
And also more and more nervous, right? Like everyone who sees like the typical three-legged lame abscess, you're like, his foot's broken. It's like, no, it's an abscess.
Exactly. She's like, it potentially a wing fracture. So a wing fracture of his coffin bone, which is like, like the outer little edge of that coffin bone. Don't remember if it was medial or lateral or inside or outside. But could potentially, but she's like, I don't know. And I'm like, so if it is that, what does that mean? Well, that means a therapeutic shoe, which is fine. I have no, as much as I believe in barefoot, if a horse has a medical issue and whatever, right. whatever, yeah. and they need a therapeutic shoe, of course, I'm going to put that on them. And so, and she's like, and, you know, 3-4 months of stall rest. And I'm like, yeah, this is definitely not what I want to hear. Right. But then she's like, but there's also a little pocket that could be an abscess. I think I see a little gas pocket here. And I'm okay. Well, then we went ahead and but she's like, I need, you know, all of this. I need to look more closely when I get back to the office. So I'm just keeping my fingers crossed. And then we went ahead and blocked him. And she was trying to narrow down whether the blocks, she tried to do a medial again inside. And so she could narrow down, okay, is the pain coming from the inside of that left foot or the outside of the foot? Well, the blocks were, he wasn't cooperating with the blocks. He, you know, usually you let them sit for, you know, 10, 15 minutes. They're now numb. You can take them out and do stuff. Well, we were waiting like 20 and 30 minutes and he was still reacting to the block, like reacting to touching. So he wasn't blocked, you know, he wasn't blocked. He was still reacting to the test to see if they're blocked. So she finally ended up, by the time we kind of got him blocked, the whole foot, and because then it can kind of migrate, you know, it's not like
it's hard to do precisely in the foot.
It doesn't stay in that exact spot. It starts to,
especially migrate. For a horse like that. Because Shorty was like that too, but the last time we tried to do that, and he was like, "I'm good, I can still feel it." And then he was like, "Oh my god, my whole leg is numb."
Thank you,
I was like,
exactly. Great. And that's exactly what happened. Exactly what happened. So after that, you know, he definitely improved, and so, you know, they're like, "Well, if they're 75% improved, yeah, we know it's the foot, but we still have no clue where it is." So at that point, it was like, well, the next step is, well, again, she was going to go back to the office and look at the x-rays more closely. But the potential plan was to send him to get an MRI, or a CT, right? I could do either one. Fortunately, where I live, I am like 20 minutes from the Marianne DuPont Equine Centers, which is a fabulous hospital. So all I had to, or I can also go to VEI, which is Virginia Equine Imaging, which is also a fabulous, vet, where I could get either the MRI or CT done. So I've got lots of choices really close to me, which is awesome. And so that was the kind of the potential plan was that would be the next step, but she would go home and read the x-rays. So when she did that, my next update later that night was she didn't think she had the wing fracture. Thank you. I was like, thank God. Okay. So I was like, so are you sure that little spot? She's like, no, I don't think there's any fracture there. So I was like, okay, that's fabulous. But we still don't know what's wrong with him. Right. We don't know. So I went ahead and made an appointment to get an MRI done because although it's a little bit more pricey, it's much more, you can be sure whether it's, you know, soft tissue or whatever. Fortunately, he is insured. So insurance will pay for that part of it. But I still had to come up with a big chunk of money in order to do it. But in the meantime, I was also going on a vacation, quote unquote, I won't call it a vacation, but I was going out of town for like a week. So the MRI was scheduled to take place this Friday, the 10th, but I was actually out of town, April 1st till just last night. I got home at like midnight, April 7th. And, so the plan was to do the MRI on the 10th. But I was still kind of wavering because in my mind, I really, really think it's an abscess. Just the way because again, some days he's better, some days he's not. And so my daughter stayed here while I was out of town. And like one day she'd be like, oh, he's great. He's walking perfectly fine. And the next day, oh, he's really lame. And so, So here we are. I ended up canceling the MRI. I am 95% sure it's an abscess, and it just has not. I did end up soaking him, or she soaked him while I was out of town. I actually got one of those. I do have a red light laser thing. Mm. And I was like, okay, I can put that laser on him, you know, like a couple times a day and see if that gets it to go out. But then I know I'm too busy. The chances of me sitting there for 30 minutes twice a day holding the laser on his foot is probably not going to happen. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. So I did get one of those. I don't know how good it is, but they're advertised on Facebook, the horse halo. It's like a little hoof wrap that's got red light things in it. And I just got one of those. And it was delivered while I was out of town. So my daughter's been putting that on him a couple times a day. I got some hoof pad. We're doing all the things. We're soaking him. We're doing all the things to try to get this thing to blow. And that's where we are. So he's still lame. I'm 95% sure it's an abscess. And we're just hoping this thing blows at some point.
Nice. Well, so that's my story. You're definitely giving it hell, it sounds like.
Yes.
That's a doozy. And I hate those kind of lingering ones that just like move around the foot and you don't know like what's happening or why this horse is not that lame.
Exactly. Like,
that's the worst place to be. So I feel for you.
And I think my hoof trimmer, she, you know, because he even though he did great for the first 4 months or whatever, he's got obviously a lot of stuff that's going on in his body that needs to work his way out and going on his feet that needs to work his way out. So that foot was by far the most wonky, messed up foot. So maybe it's just all that
some crap. All that change in shape.
Just working its way out. Cause it definitely changed shape. All the stuff that needs to work its way out. And so, but yeah,
horses, man,
it is frustrating because I had, you know, all these now we have been able to be a little bit productive. We did have a saddle fitter out. My plan is to, so I think I might've said last time I ride bareback a lot and, my plan, but I, obviously, that's not an option in the makeover. Not that I would want to do that. My plan is to ride him Western because he is very much a Western horse. He has zero desire to go, although he's a little tall. He's not your typical Western looking horse, but he has zero desire to go fast. Zero desire to go fast anymore. So my plan was to ride him Western. So Western saddle that I do have did not fit him. So I got an amazing Western specifically. That's all she does is Western saddles, which is unusual in my neck of the woods because everybody is English out here. She comes from a couple hours away. She comes from Southern Virginia. So, but she is 100% a Western fitter and she is awesome. She was here for 3.5 hours. She does body work on them first to find out what's going on. Yeah. Again, not a commercial, but if anybody's looking for a Western saddle fitter in my area, she is absolutely amazing. And she brings saddles with her. So we tried several on him, found some that fit him. Now I could not ride him while we were doing all this because guess what? He was lame.
It was a lame day.
We were, you know, because ideally she wants you to ride in the saddle first to make sure it, you know, it fits him. But we did walk in with it on and she had her hand under there and was feeling everything. But so I found an amazing used saddle that fits him. And we've been working on trailer loading because that's also a bit of an issue. And I can do because he does have some good days. So I can still do a little obstacle stuff when he has good days. We because again, I'm not asking him to do much. We're just walking. So we have been able to do some obstacle stuff in on my place, but I haven't been able to obviously take them anywhere because we're working on trailer loading in addition to being in Maine.
I will say, like, April feels like it's a lot closer. You still have time.
I still have time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it'll be okay.
I think that's the good thing. Well, the two good things. One of the good things about doing competitive trail, at least, is a lot of that obstacle stuff you can work on from the ground.
Right.
So obviously mounted is a very different story, but you can introduce them to a whole lot from the ground to at least get a good start. So that's, yeah, if I was doing eventing or, you know, whatever, that then I'd be a little bit more worried. But since we can do so much from the ground, I'm not as worried right now. We still have lots of time.
Yeah.
The second thing is he's actually eligible for 27 as well.
Oh.
So
at that rate,
south, yeah.
Yeah. If there's something south, really weird. Yeah.
Because I have yet to sit on him. I still have never sat on him. My daughter sat on him once because she does bounce much better than I do.
Right.
And sure. So back in the end of February, it was actually on a good time. I think it was like late February, early March when it was a few of his good days. And she just literally hopped on it. And I don't even know if I remembered that or if I mentioned that last time, but she literally hopped on him bareback with a rope halter and walked around my ring. And he was like, do, 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 do. Yep. No problem. He was a perfect angel. But other than that, I have yet to sit on him.
Okay.
So we're not doing anything formal. So he is very much eligible for 27 if need be.
Well, let's hope it doesn't come to that.
Let's hope at that. Yeah.
We'll be thinking of you and we'll look forward to the update, hopefully in a month that he's sound and you've had a ton of fabulous rides. But yeah, until then, fingers crossed for a nice blowout.
Thank you. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Thank you.
Well,
so
thanks.
Much.
Yeah. Thanks, Shannon, for joining us and giving us the update and some good info on feet. That was fun.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure. Thanks so much. And we will talk to you next month.
Well, it's that time of the episode where we have new vocations. Unfortunately, Amanda Grace is not going to be able to join us this episode due to a last minute cancellation. However, we are not going to leave you without a training tip or an adoptable horse of the week. That being said, how many of you have had a horse that gets a little overexcited when going back to their stall and sometimes drags you into it? I have a couple training tips that I have found to be really helpful over the years at helping horses lead quietly and politely when going to and from their stall. So one of the big ones that I like to use is really a boring walking exercise in the arena, not just walking in circles or taking laps, but being very intentional with how you are using your time with them. Move their feet, be unpredictable in where you're going to go. I find horses that tend to want to walk past you or be the leader also tend to have their minds somewhere else. They're easily distracted horses. So by taking the opportunity to walk a few steps in a straight line, pivot backwards, change directions, pivot, go to the side, ask for a quick circle on the lunge, and then go back to walking by your side. And every time that they stay with you, treat them. I like to use alfalfa pellets. I find that they are a low sugar option that are very affordable in bulk. But use whatever works for you, a little bit of grain, maybe peppermint treat here and there. And if you're not into treats, use what your horse likes. Is it the scratch on the wither? They like their forehead rubbed. Whatever that reward is for your horse, do it frequently in the beginning so that they want to stay with you to get that reward. Then you can start to ask for a little bit more as they continue to build that continuous nature to stay with you. So for instance, if I'm constantly turning and my horse is staying with me with each turn, maybe instead of treating each time of change direction, I am now going to treat them after the second time, the third time, and just increasing that distance between those rewards. Now when you're going to the stall, The other exercise I like to recommend is have your horse turn towards you and count to three before releasing the lead rope. Yes, I know it seems really simple. I've had many baby horses in my life due to my parents breeding horses, and they get very excited for their grain and will drag you into the stall with them or drag you down the aisleway. So one way to combat that with the exercise I mentioned before, consistency matters. So staying with you if they start to walk in front of you, turn in the aisleway if it's safe, or back them up a few steps, then go. So don't let them get ahead. Once they're at the stall, stand outside of it for 3 seconds. So 1, 2, 3, walk them into it. You can stay on the outside though. So let them walk in, turn towards you. 1, 2, 3, then release. I have had all of my horses be very polite in waiting to be released in order to get their grain. And eventually you can just let it go without counting to three. They'll wait for you. But until that skill set is there, don't let up. So let me know if you try those tips for maybe your pushier horses. And I'd love to hear if it works. Make sure to email us, joy@horseradionetwork.com, or shoot us a message on Instagram or Facebook at Retired Racehorse Radio. But the horse we're going to introduce to you today has very great ground manners. She is a Pennsylvania thoroughbred named Solemn Beauty, a beautiful 3-year-old, 15-2. As you know, if you're a listener of the show, such a perfect height for pretty much any body type. She's a lovely filly from 2023, and she's a stunning chocolate dark bay, just that classic looking bay, very regal looking, which is why I picked her. She looks feminine and she has that super kind eye. What drew me to Solemn Beauty is the fact that, one, she is a beauty, but that kind eye normally gears towards a quiet disposition, and that she has. She is a level one in just about everything except for physical capability. So if you know about the levels of new vocations, they're looking at leading and ground manners, grooming and tacking, horse care, riding and general demeanor, as well as that physical capability. And she is quiet. She likes to be groomed. She can be led in a plain halter. So definitely a very kind and willing horse from the ground. But with physical capability, she is able to go anywhere. She has no limitations, making her an excellent horse, whether you want to be in the hunter ring. She's got a beautiful build for that. I could see her in the show jumpers, eventing. She just looks really smart and willing, and her videos are quite lovely too. So if you are willing to check her out, Solemn Beauty at newvocations.org or horseadoption.com, you do need to be a approved adopter first. So make sure you get your applications in. And currently she is going for $3,500. So quite a deal for such an athletic and beautiful horse.
You can enjoy your favorite equine videos all in one place with Ride TV, the ultimate equine streaming platform. The newly relaunched Ride TV has all the series you love, like Rockstar Vets and Mini Horses, plus top-tier training videos and event footage from BarrelRacing.com and Horse and Rider On Demand. Whether you're ready to relax with your favorite series, binge watch competition footage, or train with a world champion, subscribe to Ride TV today for only $19.99 to see where your ride takes you. Visit RideTVGo.tv to subscribe.
You can find our show notes and links to today's guests on the website at HorseRadioNetwork.com. Like us on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Retired Racehorse Radio. Follow the network on Twitter at Horse Radio. You can find me on Instagram and Threads at The Horseback Rider, and you can follow along with our new farm adventures on Instagram at Painted Forest Farm. My email is Kristen@HorseRadioNetwork.com.
You can find me on Instagram at MisfitMare, and hopefully you'll like my video, my riding, and not laugh at it because it has no furry gear. No worries. And my email is joy@horseradionetwork.com. Thank you to our sponsors, Kentucky Performance Product and Ride TV, and to our partners, New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program and Retired Racehorse Project. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, at horseradionetwork.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the show as it helps us grow. Remember to set your goals high and love to learn from every ride.
And cow side leg.
Bye, guys.